You're listening to Errol Parker and Clancy Overall, editors of the Batuta Advocate on Desert Rock FM.
All right, welcome back to the Batuta Advocate radio show. It's a lovely day up here in the Diamantina for once. The sun's out, the sun is shining. It's actually the first day of summer up here. I'm not sure how it is in the southern states that have daylight savings, but up here in Queensland, it's summer for half the year, isn't it, Wendell?
It is. The sun is shining. The weather is sweet. We are blowing smoke, though, I'd say. The silly season has started to bite. A lot of events on one at the Leagues Club last night, which was quite large. First day of summer as we're recording on Desert Rock FM. People listening to us will know it's a first day of summer podcast. Not sure when you'll be listening to it.
It is the greatest time of the year because politics gets put in the back of the wardrobe and out come the party shirts, the T-shirts, short shorts, board shorts, any type of shorts, any type of T-shirt.
The rum and cokes on the
company
card.
That's what comes out. This is the time of the year when the lefties and the conservatives become friends again.
And then they fight on Christmas Day.
They
and
fight.
Unceremoniously.
But
stop
on
being
Boxing
friends.
Day, I mean, you just got to shake Uncle Mike's hand and say, look, you might be a cunt, but I love you.
I love you. And you'll get 1 hour of this fucking stupid boat race you want to watch because we're watching the cricket for most of the day.
Yeah.
So that's
Oh, you're Mike. Talking about the Sydney to Hobart.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a boat race, isn't it? What?
Mate, I think that's why we should get these new subs here quickly so we can sink all those toffs on their expensive boats.
The Sydney to Hobart is the only boat you need. Anyway, we have an esteemed podcast guest in the studio today.
Yeah. Much bigger than us.
Huge, yeah. Podcast game, social media game. He's a titan of it. His name is Lee Drennan. He's from the We Got the Chocolates podcast, which I'm sure anyone on TikTok will have seen. Most people on Instagram probably will have seen. And a lot of people will have
listened. On YouTube, there's a couple of videos there with over 1 million views. I mean,
it's mind-boggling stuff. And before we say hello to Lee, I just want to read out a couple of stats. We Got the Chocolates, based around cricket. Now, Lee Drennan here, 415 career matches, grade cricket, 10,680 runs. We're getting into Ricky Ponting, Sachin Tendulkar, Alan Border. Over 10K runs, 680. I mean, I wonder if there is retirement thinking here. He's got over the 10K. Batting average of 30.6, not bad
Solid.
At all. High score, 179.
Yeah.
That's 168 more than I've scored in a single innings.
How's his red ball work?
14 wickets, not as many. So we were talking.
Not exactly a Jacques Callis.
No, one maybe every 50 innings. Every 50 innings he's pinching. He's pinching one. A lot of catches as well. Best bowling, though, 3 for 13. So if he wants to turn it on, he clearly can. Current season, 298 runs. Coming off a handy 46 in the men's first grade competition against Sandgate Redcliffe a couple of months ago.
So close, but, you know.
So far. Lee Drennan, thanks very much for joining the podcast.
No worries, guys. Thank you so much for having me and for walking me down. I don't know when my cricket started recording, but that's a lot more runs than I thought I'd got. So,
well, I can tell you they've got some stats there from 2008, 2009, okay. And you were in the fifth grade team there.
Yeah.
And obviously every single stat this season is from the first grade team for the Redland Tigers Cricket Club.
Yeah, I know for my cricket, I only put in my first and middle name, so none of my mates would be able to find me.
Good idea.
Because I just couldn't deal with that pressure of having people at work, having my family, having my mates constantly looking at my cricket.
It's very smart because one of my favourite pastimes is that when, you know how someone will put up cricket highlights or something and say, oh, well batted, Marnus yesterday, 100 or whatever. There's always people that will get on and spray like who's getting picked or we get it a lot for the Brisbane Heat. The players that come on and go, why isn't this guy getting picked or this guy? And then, like, you know, very much experts. And then my favourite thing to do is look up their My Cricket stats. Screenshot it and comment it back and go, I reckon you probably don't know what you're talking about. So you average 0.2 in sixth grade.
Yeah, it's the definition of the larger man sitting on the couch yelling at the TV, telling professional sports players how to do things.
Yeah, no, it's like I'm in this park competition now that my grade days are behind me, and you recognize certain people from your grade comp who come down there and pretend to miss the ball a couple times, and then as soon as they get a decent ball that's actually moving a bit, their eyes just completely just change, and they just absolutely like on the off the back foot and just hit it anywhere they want. And then it's like, I can see the cricketer in you. I mean, like, you're not fooling anyone except everyone on the other team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I don't know if I'd be able to go back. Like, after playing first grade for lots of years, I don't know if I'd enjoy going back and playing. Like
if you went back to last man's
I just don't know how I'd go.
I have a funny feeling you might. That'd be terrible. Oh, no, like, I just smacked
someone. Oh, no, yeah, then that's the thing, exactly. Oh, no, like, imagine how good it would make you feel about yourself.
we have to score 40 off the last two overs, and they have a guy up there who's like an obese version of Ashley Giles, just giving you these fucking big moon balls.
Yeah, actually, I might start next year.
I think you'd find a way to have a good time.
Absolutely.
I do like that you were talking about cricketers fooling people, and you were saying there you actually don't know when my cricket started doing stats, and you weren't aware when your stats first went in there. That seems like as a grade cricketer, that seems like a bit of a fib. I feel like every single cricketer is across every single stat at that kind of level.
No, you're probably there. Yeah, I'd be guilty of that, definitely. I spend a lot of time on a Saturday evening usually sort of going through not only my scores but certainly other people's from the comp and bit of comparing, and now my cricket's doing video replays of our wickets as well.
Yeah, that's changed. That's a sports thing now. All sorts of suburban sports now. You can get highlight packages from, you know, a Div 3 rugby game. I don't know why you need highlights packages. And look, if you've got a committed coach, they can be analysing, you know, the different things that's going on at the breakdown or things that are going out in the ruck in rugby league. It's democratised sport, I think. Everyone can feel like a professional. Actually, you don't feel like a professional because you watch it and you think the way you run or the way you do something is like the guys on TV because that's what you're used to watching, but it's not like that at all.
No.
Do you find that of the wickets or yourself playing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've seen lots of wickets that are genuinely quite comical, like that you would look at and be like, how the heck has that happened? There was a video that I found via just searching through my cricket of a batsman, just two batters just running into each other, like massive collision run out. Like, this is in first grade cricket too, so it's definitely very funny to watch some of the dismissals that you see. You're like, you probably wouldn't see that at the highest level, I don't think.
Yeah, I was a part of one like that start of this year where I was playing with a mate of mine who's you know, the definition of a park cricketer, and he wanted to run, you know, a very tight two, and I ran the first one and I was like, nah, no way. Like, I'd already run past the stumps, and he turned around and was running towards me going, no, 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 no. And I was like, no, 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 you go back. And he ran back and I was in the middle. And I was like, mate, like, he called no and then ran.
Yeah, it's not the best. Not the ideal for running between wickets, that's for sure.
Did you give him a spray?
Didn't have to, surely. Oh, no, he just copped it.
No, well, like, it's like, you can yell at a cat for shitting in the yard. You know, at the end of the day, it's a cat.
Should have rubbed his nose. It'll shit where it wants. Should have rubbed his nose in it, Errol. Now, Lee, before we talk about your very successful podcast, how are the Redland Tigers Cricket Club going this year?
Oh, yeah, good, actually. Like, probably, I mean, you can probably note the surprise in my voice there. We have done better than expected. We obviously have a lot of very good players that play for Redlands. Marnus, Labuschagne, Sam Hazlitt, Jimmy Pearson, James Bazley, all sort of contracted players. But because they're contracted, we never see them. So they've played not many games for us at all this year. So, yeah, it's sort of usually when we lose those players, it starts to get quite difficult to fill the spaces, but I think we're sitting at fourth at the moment and in a decent position in this game at the moment. I'll fly back on Friday. I'm not out on 11 at the moment. I'm not sure if you picked that up. So we bowled Gold Coast out for 205 last week, and we're 2 for 84.
That's good.
So in a decent position, if we can win that, then we're probably looking like we're sitting close to Christmas in like the top two or three, which would be. Yeah, probably exceeding expectations, I think, for our cattle that we've got this year.
So what's it like when someone like Marnus comes back into the fold? Like, does he get special treatment or anything? Or
No, I wouldn't say. He usually he's captaining us now when he comes back, which is good. So yeah. He opens the batting and the bowling, and no, he still bats at three actually. But he definitely does open. He definitely opens the bowling. He loves his medium paces, rates them very highly, and they are quite useful, to be fair. No, but no special treatment. It's obviously being serious. It's pretty awesome to have him come back, especially because I've played lots of cricket with guys that have played for Australia or state cricketers that come back to grade cricket and think. Like, I think, like, Adam Zamp has openly said, I hate grade cricket. Whereas Marnus is, like, the opposite of that. He just loves.
I feel Adam Zamp hates cricket in general. Like, he's, like, a guy who's just, he's a FIFO. Like, he's just doing the work. He's
I think paid. He was like, fuck, I've been contracted.
Why am I so
good at inconvenient. This? I was like, I'd much rather have an office job. Like, the sun.
100%. Whereas Marnus is the opposite. And, like, I think a couple of weeks ago, we were playing grade cricket. And Marnus was there at 8 o'clock in the morning just to have a hit in the morning. He just got our coach to sidearm to him, like in preparation for playing in the test.
He really likes cricket
a lot. Yeah,
that's you know, like he'd just be happy playing cricket even if he's not getting paid.
100%. He'd be like garage cricket. We've played at his house plenty of times. He genuinely does love it. He'll turn anything into a game. So usually when there's an opportunity to come back and play for Redlands, he actually takes it, which is pretty cool to see.
Do you ever have to hogpile him and squash his guts out his ass?
No, we've never had the opportunity to do it. In fairness, growing up, Marnus was fairly annoying. I think I can say that as his mate.
Like, has he always been doing that no run, you know?
Not as much with the no run, I don't think, but just general mannerisms and like he was just this high-pitched, squeaky voice that never shut up sort of thing. Yeah. I played against him as like a 19-year-old and our team hated him with a passion.
He seems quite hyper.
Yeah, exactly.
He seems like the kid at school who like sees a stick when you're walking somewhere and picks it up and then starts hitting you on the back of the legs or just starts throwing things at you all the time.
Or he does like weird voices.
Like, hello. Yeah. But then when I started playing with him, I realized that he's the guy that you want on your team because he's just so hard to bat when he's just yabbering in the background sort of thing. So he's a great teammate.
He's also got really good hand eye as well, which helps.
They're a very good cricketer, which is also sort notably of the other good thing at you're cricket. Looking for in a cricket team, I guess, is people that possess skills that are helpful. And he does have that, which is also useful.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, annoying mate, I had annoying mates like that, I feel like, he would annoy me, but he is the guy that you want to have around you and you want to have on your team.
And I think your teammates love him. Like, I know commentators and stuff would find him excessive. He did something yesterday that would, I think Jason Holder bowled like a good ball to him.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, that's a delicious ball, Jason. Like, he does weird stuff like that all the time.
That's good, Jason.
I played in a game with him where I was batting with him and he hit the ball to cover and said, yes, napping. As in, like, the fielder was asleep. he just does weird stuff like that all the time.
That's really good.
Yes, napping.
Were you mates with him before cricket or through cricket?
Through cricket we met. Mm. Definitely through Redlands Cricket Club as well.
I often wonder with him, does he have any other hobbies? Because you see all the stuff about him practicing with, you know, the golf balls and the garage cricket and all that sort of stuff. But does he have anything else? It's just all
he's
cricket.
He's freakishly good at lots of things. Like, loves coffee. That's his biggest hobby, I reckon. Like, unbelievable latte.
It sounds like
art.
He doesn't need any coffee.
No, that's right. But he's on decaf now.
Right.
so passionate about his coffee. But he's a freak at, like, he gets right into tennis and golf and like other sporting stuff, most certainly.
Frustratingly good at everything.
Yeah, like he when COVID hit, he just pretty much, because everything got cancelled and like lockdowns in Queensland, you guys probably experienced lockdown worse than what we did, but in Queensland it would be lockdown, but you're allowed, somehow tennis was okay because he was standing, like it's 1-1 and you were standing far enough apart. So he pretty much, like, he started hitting with John Millman, who's a proper tennis player, was just like they were going down and playing against each other every Thursday and stuff. Like, he basically turned into like an actually good tennis player for that sort of 4-month period. So he's a guy that's frustrating at how competitive he is and then how good he is at everything as well. So terrible to play against.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Yeah.
Now, he's obviously a celebrity that comes back and plays at your cricket club every now and then, but given the success of the podcast and social media, is there almost an argument to be made now that Lee Drennan is more of a celebrity and more known in cricket circles than, say, Amanis Labuschagne? Are you the celebrity on the team?
I don't think so. No, not quite. I think I've got he's got quite a social media presence too, actually, Amanis, I think. But I know that I certainly get... No, I know it's well known. We got the chocolates, that's for sure, because I get sledged about it every week that I'm batting. It'll be one to put on the podcast, story to put on the podcast, that sort of thing. I'm like, yep.
Yeah, I want to know, what do they hit you with? What's the common one? Yeah. Like, oh, that'll be on the podcast, yeah, mate. Is that
here
the
he
one?
Comes, Hollywood.
Yeah. One for a story. I had a great one last year where we're playing against Sandgate and I walked out to bat in the 2020 and they had like their supporters day. So they were like piss bikes everywhere sitting there, and as I walked out to bat, they played the intro of our podcast through like the speaker system.
That's good.
Which was fairly off-putting, to be honest. I've never experienced that before. They were grilling me, and then I got run out in that game and got one of the loudest send-offs I've ever received, so that was good fun. But I certainly gets mentioned lots, but I think mostly positively, which is useful. Like, there's not that many people that are going, geez, your podcast is shit. Maybe they will now after they listen to this. No, because that'd probably rattle me.
Nah, look, I'd find it hard for people to listen and say that shit find negative things to say about it.
It's a lot of fun. But yeah, well, certainly the place Mitch and I, who are brothers, got recognised the most was in Thredbo for some reason. We can't work it out. We went down for a snow trip. And I think because we were together and the moustaches together and stuff, people just came up to us all the time, going like, jockeys. Like, they were real happy with it. Whereas I think when we're apart in Brisbane, people are like, oh, is that? I think, no, maybe, yeah.
I think the Queenslanders have better manners.
Yeah, well, that's true.
As opposed to, you know, all these people from the cold country there, you know, shameless.
Queenslanders love winners too. And you're a winning podcast.
Well,
so
that's true. Yeah.
They're on the bandwagon, like Brisbane Lions.
Queenslanders respect successful things enough to not interact with them.
Yeah, and then also very quick to jump off when they're unsuccessful.
Yes, it's very.
That's what they will do quite quickly. So need to make sure that we keep putting out content. It would only take 2 weeks, I think, and people would forget about you.
Case in point, Brisbane Broncos.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
So tell us a bit about the birth of the podcast. I mean, it was just back in 2019.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, exactly. And at that stage, it was an ultimate, like, I don't even think podcasts were that big in 2019. Like, there were a couple that we'd sort of listened to and go like, oh, this is good. But I'd emceed lots of weddings for, like, my mates and stuff. That was sort of where I had started. And people would always come up to me afterwards and be like, oh, you got to do this, like, full-time.
Yeah,
it's like, I don't think I want to be a full-time wedding MC. Like, especially because the reason I'm good at MCing is because I know the people. Like, I can't MC just random. I'd find that real punishing. Trying to go in and be like,
some random.
Oh, yeah, I don't know anything about these two people, but obviously they're great and wonderful wedding night. And so that didn't really appeal to me. But then people had sort of spoken about, like, oh, I'll get on the radio or something like that. So it'd been like put into my brain a couple of times, but I did nothing with it, obviously. And then sort of the idea of podcasting became a bit of a thing that we again talked about for probably 6 months without doing anything. And we went down and watched the mighty Brisbane Lions in Melbourne, Mitch and I and our other mate James. And that was the first time. If you go back and listen to the first We Got the Chocolates podcast episode, it was recorded like on that MacBook. That was our microphone between three of us. It's the worst audio quality you could possibly hear ever. And that was the first episode we uploaded. And now I think we've done like 159 we just released today. Yeah. And certainly more frequent and far better quality of audio output, at least.
A lot of very good video quality output.
Also very
good
video.
Yeah. It's almost like the podcast now itself is like, you know, just one cog in a watch, really. I mean, like, you've got a giant presence on Instagram and, as Wendell said, the TikToks and on YouTube as well.
Yeah. Well, that's what we like to think of it at, and I think that's the point we'd like to get to, is we definitely started as a podcast, to be fair, but then wanted to branch out and do skits and things on social media. So I guess we now sort of think ourselves as, like, yeah, like you said, like that sort of one content bucket or one arm of our kind of media. Our media presence, I guess, and we've got stuff on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram and even Snapchat we got on. I haven't been on Snapchat for 10 years, but we got across into that as well. So,
look, unless you're under the age of 21, I think there's maybe only one or two reasons you might be on Snapchat.
They're not great reasons.
I wanted to ask, there's a few different, I guess, content pillars or segments you have in the podcast, all very popular. One of the big ones that does very well in a video format, does very well on social media, is the dad jokes.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Seems like an endless list of dad jokes. Where do you go to dip into that well of dad jokes?
Yeah, well, because that, again, that sort of started from just a personal interest. That when I went to England to play cricket in 2012-2013, it rained every day, and both summers they said was the wettest summer they've ever had. That's what everyone in England kept telling me. I'm pretty sure they would say that every year to the people that come over. So we had 8 games of cricket rained out of a possible 16 or whatever. So it meant that I had a lot of spare time, and I just started. I'd always enjoyed the art of making stupid puns, and so I just started memorising dad jokes basically, and put as many in the memory bank as possible so that if they'd ever come up in conversation, I could just rip them out. And so that was something that I was always quite passionate about, and something that I did in those, like when I was emceeing weddings, would, you know, get the stupid, like I'd do something where my mate was like a real keen fisherman. So I told the story of how him and his wife met, which was completely fictional, but I just changed everything to fishing puns. Like, and so I guess that with the dad joke format, if we just thought, well, it makes us laugh, which might not make anyone else laugh, but we wanted to try it. And that was just, we couldn't have imagined how well that went, basically, because some of those videos, as you said, like there's ones with 25 million views and stuff there, which is not really what we were thinking was going to occur. But yeah, with the I think you can. The thing is, now we've heard so many that like you want to tell people ones that they haven't heard before. Yeah. So it's getting harder and harder to definitely go and get ones that you're like, oh, geez, I don't know how this is going to work. And a lot of them we'll actually try and write ourselves, but they're usually like the real shit ones.
Okay.
But then sometimes even that can create, like sometimes they're that bad that it's just
I feel like sometimes the shitter the dad joke, almost the better it is.
Yeah, you just get that groan reaction.
A lot of comedians say they get hit up, you know, when they're bumping into someone on the street or at a pub or a bar or whatever, and people bail them up and go like, tell us a joke or say something funny.
Yeah.
Do you get bailed up for dad jokes? Like, give us a dad joke.
Yeah, whenever we've been out in Brisbane and stuff, that people would always, the funniest, probably more than that, we always get people come up and tell us ones. Often ones that we've already put up as videos, so you kind of don't know how to react. You're like, well, yeah, like I know that one.
Is this a troll?
Yeah. Like, are you winding
I saw this one on TikTok. It's like, if you heard the one about the encyclopedia and the Guinness Book of World Records.
Oh, that's the best joke ever. That's the best one. That's
if you haven't seen it, go on YouTube and watch it.
That's going to be really hard to eclipse, I think, that one.
Yeah.
I still remember when that got told, the Guinness Book of World Records one, just sitting there, I was in the background just laughing, thought like straight away. I was like,
imagine there's someone who may not have heard that joke, for the listeners out there.
Oh, yeah.
Can someone give it to me?
Yeah, I'm going to say it for Christmas.
No, I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah. Wait, you want me to tell you?
I think I could retell it, couldn't I?
Yeah.
So it goes, so my penis was in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah.
But then the librarian asked me to take it out.
Okay, that is very good. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. It's just a real quick one that you can deliver.
Yeah, it's a nice, easy one.
Not quite the way that you think it's going to go.
No. A little pivot, a little twist. Yeah, that's right. That is very good.
Yeah.
And so what's plans next for the podcast for you four guys? Dreams of cricket. He's still with the Heat, isn't he?
Yeah, still Heat contracted, absolutely. He's with him. And the Bulls at the moment, I think they've got Queensland Bulls got a one-day game coming up as well, or another Shield game, I think, at the Gabba before it goes into the Heat stuff. So, yeah, his appearances are becoming harder and harder because a lot of cricket over the Big Bash period, I guess.
It would be so hectic as like a full-time Big Bash player. Like, fuck, there's a lot of games.
So many. And it goes for a long time.
I don't think there's enough. I want one every day for the calendar.
It's a lot of air miles.
You should start playing two in a day each game.
Yeah, double them up.
I mean, like, imagine having to go to Perth 3 times in the same year. Mm.
Yeah, decent trip.
And potentially face like frequent flyer points. 18 to 19 balls all up.
Yeah, that's the frustrating thing. I think 2020 cricket as well is very hard to know whether you're in form or out of form sometimes. Like if you're a middle order batter, bat at 5 or 6, you could come in and face the last 3 balls of an innings, like 3 games in a row, and then one game they're 4 for 10 and you're expected to get runs. It's quite a hard gig.
I also find it funny that they you see them doing like fitness training. I don't really know. Like what for? Like you're bowling maximum 4 overs. You might be, even if you're out there for 15, it's a bit of running between the wickets. But
mate, that was like, as we all know, that was one thing that a lot of Australian spin bowlers and John Buchanan didn't see eye to eye on. I mean, like that's when
a lot of Australian spin bowlers.
Like, I mean, like there was that one thing, you know, in Warnie's book where he was going on about that, like he had to go and do this pre-season
that was a boot camp,
stuff
wasn't it?
Where he had to carry a jerry can full of water up a sand dune. And he was like, mate, I stand at first and I bowl leggies. Why do I need to run up and down a sand dune?
It's a very apt question. Seeing as we are segueing into cricket, I should grab your thoughts on the summer of cricket. How are you feeling about what's coming up?
I'm excited for the South Africa series. I think that'll be a better test of where I feel like West Indies are not in tip-top shape at the moment. And also didn't understand the starting on a Wednesday yesterday. That seems strange. I thought Thursday starts earliest it can possibly be in the week, I think. Because people are more inclined to take days off on a Thursday or Friday. Yeah. Wednesday's like...
I think that they must have had a word to the curators there. I think they were like, yeah, I definitely think there'll be some play on day 5, so you could have that on a Sunday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that might be it.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of batting and a lot of bowling on this pitch. But
right.
Because that is extremely risky, isn't it? Taking first test, West Indies here, and going, we're starting on Wednesday.
Yeah, because there's a chance it doesn't get to the weekend, really. I don't know what the batting's going to be like.
Well, yeah, I can't see a declaration coming to
I think they're going to try and
today,
get 800.
Which is day 2. For those who are listening at home.
Yeah, yeah, and we should note if you are listening in potentially 10 days to 2 weeks' time, this is recorded on the start of the second day of the first test.
Yeah.
But I think it's fair to predict that it might be 2 comfortable victories off the back of a comfortable ODI series against England, which also seemed...
That was random, like wasn't it?
...bit of a gap filler.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, at least they're a good team.
Yeah, but they really weren't during that one day series. And they are a good team, but they played the fifth strength team, which was
strange.
Their
heart wasn't in it.
No, so it did seem like a little bit of an odd... Yeah, just an odd timing. After there was just no time for it. They finished the 2020 World Cup. They had this series coming up. England goes home and they're preparing for a test series as well. They should have just got to leave on a high after winning the World Cup.
Let them go on a bender. Let them go down to Bondi for a few days.
And they had a game on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think that the one-day format gets a bit of a bad rap, but I think a lot of it comes from the governing bodies that are just like, it's always kind of thought of as like an afterthought, really.
Because I really like one-day cricket.
I think it's
enjoy it.
It's on par with tests. Yeah. I mean, it is like the greatest challenge for a cricketing team. I mean, like it takes like tactics and things like that. Whereas I suppose like for a T20, it's almost anyone's game from the get-go.
A T20 is sort of the format that people that don't like cricket can get involved in. They can market towards building the audience, which is important as well. Like that's obviously a good thing, but. Then, I just think one-day cricket for actual cricket fanatics and people that have grown up with the game and like it, I think one-day cricket's awesome.
Yeah.
I really do, because it's enough time for you to score hundreds, so still have, like, you know, enough time to sort of go at, like, a runner ball and just bat well.
Yeah.
Whereas 2020 becomes quite sort of high pressure and get everything really quickly. And then you're bowling, but then also, like, the new ball swings and you can see bowlers sort of rip games open as well. I think it gets a bad rap, and it obviously, like you said, gets not prioritised. It's sort of test cricket, 2020 cricket, and then one day is a bit of an afterthought. But I think it would be quite sad if it continues to follow that trend and we don't play any one-day cricket.
The thing that I have against one-day cricket at the moment is it's not on fucking free-to-air TV.
Yeah, well, that is a debacle. But that's been a massive palaver, hasn't it?
We're supposed to have anti-siphoning laws, which means national teams are available for people to see on free-to-air TV. But given the man who owns Fox Sports runs significant parts of the country, that isn't the case, and so we can't get on free to air. But they're renegotiating the rights, and there's some chat about Channel 10 and Paramount potentially getting it, and so maybe you have some of the Big Bash on Paramount Plus, but the other stuff goes on free to air. Because I mean, we're getting Big Bash games on free to air all the time, but we can't get One Day International.
Yeah, I mean, like I just thought the best way, like how it worked all those years ago, was that every game that was here was on the TV, and everything that was overseas was on Fox.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
unless SBS randomly got the rights to the Ashes.
Yeah, that was cool. 2005.
Yeah.
For the greatest. I was a massive SBS
fan. Yeah, right on board. Yeah, I agree. It's crazy that it's not. And yesterday, obviously, the Test match cricket turned on Channel 7, but I know that that's been an ongoing feud over the last however long, hasn't it? The Channel 7 versus Cricket Australia. So I don't know if that's ever going to get resolved or if it ends up going to Channel 10. I thought Channel 10 did it. And I know sometimes it doesn't matter because all the same commentators end up going to whichever channel anyway. But I thought Channel 10, when they had the Big Bash, did an awesome job of it.
Yeah.
In terms of bringing it to life. And I would say that the viewership there was probably at its highest then. I think they probably had the right amount of games then as well. Whereas now it seems like they go forever.
That was when I felt like I did have a vague interest in the Big Bash, and I was genuinely kind of keeping across it at that Channel 10 reduced schedule time. But
then you're more chance of getting overseas players for the whole time. That's what's such a farce about it at the moment. Overseas players can only come for half of it.
Yeah.
So then you end up signing one overseas that's here for four games, and then the next one comes for six. Or like whereas at the start, it was if an overseas player came, they came for the whole thing, which I think needs to change, really.
And if we're going longer, we've got guys in great cricket who've made 10,000 runs.
Well, that's
right. Who are ready for a call up anytime soon.
Ready, yeah. I mean, 2020. I don't know what my strike. Doesn't do strike rate there on my cricket, does it?
No,
I think that's probably what lets me down slightly sometimes in terms of Big Bash contracts.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, 5 for 70, I'll bat the 20 for us. Don't worry about that.
Well, Lee, thank you very much for making the trip out here to Batuta. Thanks for coming on the podcast. And for all the listeners, if they want to get around an enjoyable podcast, they want to get around those dad jokes, they want to laugh along, We Got the Chocolates on all platforms.
At We Got the Chocolates everywhere. We fixed that. It was four different things at the start, but now it's just at We Got the Chocolates, and you'll find us anywhere, I think, pretty much.
Anywhere.
Unless it's like a really niche.
Even Snapchat.
Correct.
Find him on Wicker. Yeah. Thanks very much for joining the podcast. Enjoy the summer cricket and good luck this weekend. Hopefully that 11 not out turns into a little bit more.
I'll send you a screenshot from my mind cricket of what I turned that into.
Don't worry, we'll be keeping an eye.
I'll be keeping an eye.
I'll be more than 12.
We'll be on top of it. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much, guys.